Glad I'm saved. Glad I can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Appreciate the good singing, the preaching. Brother Wilson just preached. Amen. Preaching's like shooting a gun. You can't half shoot a gun. You either shoot it or you don't. You either preach or you don't. I'm in a fix right now. I sure need the Lord. And I trust you'll pray. The Lord will help me. I want to be a blessing and a help to you tonight. And we've shouted and we've worshiped and God's still dealing in our hearts. And He will, if we'll let Him all week. He'll keep dealing, stirring around, getting things done. Amen. Well, 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 4. Verse number 8. Where this Holy Bible says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed unto Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. It fell on a day that he came thither that he turned in to the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him, and he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Our Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to bless the portion of Scripture that we've read. I ask you, Lord, that you'd touch my heart, and Lord, you'd help your unworthy servant. And give me what I need to preach now. Speak to every soul, every heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach for just a few minutes on this thought. Will the circle be unbroken? Many dear parents and grandparents carry a burden so great that it's unrelenting and overwhelming. And that burden is the fact that their children or their grandchildren are not saved, or that they're out of church and away from God. I have no idea Down through the years, how many times I've heard a mama or daddy say to me, "Preacher, please pray for my children or my grandchildren." I've seen rivers of tears flow as they wept over their youngins.
Amen.
For a parent, there's nothing that'll rip your heart out like a wayward child. Being a parent ain't always peaches and cream, neighbor. If you're going to be a parent, you're going to suffer some pain. I'm going to look at that thought for just a minute. Remember, a long time ago, there was a song that said, "Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky." We all want to know that our loved ones will be together in heaven. Amen. We hate the thought of our family circle being broken. We have no idea what the coming months may hold, neighbor, but one thing is for sure. We're quickly running out of time to go after our loved ones and get them in. In our text, there's a great story about a mama and her son. Notice here's a holy woman and her barrenness. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, there's one of the great promises of the Bible, neighbor. In that verse, God said, "Them that honor me, I will honor." This dear woman certainly honored God, and in turn, God honored her. And notice her respect for the man of God. The story began with Elisha passing through Shunem, where he met this woman. And verse 8 talks about how she constrained him to eat bread. I mean, she insisted on fixing a meal for the man of God. And from that time on, when Elisha passed through the area, he would eat with this woman and her husband. One day, she came up with an idea to add a little room on their house and furnish it with a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. A nice, comfortable place for the man of God. I'm sure churches across the country that have prophets' chambers got the idea from this particular portion of Scripture and this dear woman. She had much respect for the man of God because she had respect for the God of the man. When a church loves God, neighbor, they'll love God's man and they'll honor God's man. They'll love God's Word and God's house and God's work. Her respect for God's man, and then her reward from the man of God, Elisha, and his servant Gehazi, were sitting in that chamber, enjoying a good meal she had made for him. And no doubt Elisha got to thinking about how good this dear woman had been to him. And he told his servant in verse 13, he said, "Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care." And in essence, Elisha asked her how he could show his appreciation for all she had done for him. "Do you want me to speak to the captain or the king in your behalf?" And you can see how humble this woman was in her reply, neighbor. In essence, she was saying, "No, you don't have to do that. I'm happy just being who I am and what I am." Verse 14, Elisha said to Gehazi, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi said, "Well, she don't have a child. Her husband is old." Now, when I read that, I notice how Gehazi referred to her husband as being old. I thought about a story I heard where this preacher told his church one Sunday morning, said, "Now look here, I'm going to do something different today." I said, "I'm going to holler out a word, and when I say that word, I want you to sing out a verse of the first, sing a verse of the first song that pops in your mind." Well, he hollered "cross," and everybody started singing the old rugged cross. He hollered "grace," and everybody started singing "Amazing Grace." He hollered out "kisses," and everybody just went into shock. They started looking at one another, you know, didn't know what to do. Finally, a little old woman, about 80 years old, stood up on the front row and started singing "Precious Memories," "How They Linger." Amen. Listen, it was like Gehazi was saying, "I know she'd like to have a child, but her husband is old. Why, he's so far over the hill, he can't even look back and see the top of the hill." But Elijah knew that wasn't no problem with God, neighbor. He said to the woman about this season, according to the time of life, "Thou shalt embrace a son." She said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not mind thine handmaid." Verse 17 said, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha said unto her according to the time of life, as a reward for her kindness to the man of God. God gave her a son." Again, I'm reminded of that verse, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Notice another thing, a hurting woman and her burden. A hurting woman and her burden. The years have passed now, and this happy mother watched her little old boy grow. I mean, now he's a little young boy. I'll tell you, neighbor, if there was ever a boy loved and spoiled and doted over, it was this kid. I mean, he was mama's pride, neighbor, but her happiness was suddenly shattered. Somebody come running to the house from the field carrying her son. Verse 18 said, "And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father and to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head and he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he set him on her knee and until noon, and then died." He may have had a sunstroke. He may have had an aneurysm. But the sad truth is, dear neighbor, this little boy is dead. Hours passed, no doubt, as she cradled her little boy in her arms. No doubt she wiped his little head with cold cloths, her tears flowing like a river. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem many, many years ago, and it said this, "If I were hanged upon the highest tree, I know whose love would follow me." He said, mother of mine, he said, "If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine, if I were damned of body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole. Mother of mine, mother of mine." Listen, neighbor, Kipling understood something about the deep, precious love of a mother. I mean, with all the tenderness in my heart, can I tell you, my beloved mother, my precious old mama was like that. She loved me unconditionally.
Personally, from my earliest memories, Brother Charlie, she was always pointing me to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for a mama. Thank God for a real mother, amen, that loves her Lord and loves her husband and loves her young'uns. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for my precious mama. I can tell you emphatically, neighbor, that there is no human love like a mother's love. Amen, amen. Listen, this poor woman in our text, she prayed and wept bitter heart, hot tears. But in spite of it all, she could do her darling son no good. He lay dead in her arms. I remember one morning, my wife and I had just been married a few months. I got a sister 2 years older than me. She had a little girl 3.5 years old. My sister stood at the foot of my bed. I was still in bed. And she was in shock, and she stood there stoic like this. And she looked at me and said, Lisa is dead. Lisa is dead. Her little 3.5 year old girl. And I'm telling you, neighbor, it broke her heart. She's 68 years old now, and she still hadn't gotten over that after all these years. Neighbor, listen, I remember going with my sister and her husband and standing there trying to hold her up while they picked out a coffin for that little girl. And the undertaker said, we don't have a coffin that your little girl would fit into. We'll have to send to Chattanooga and get one. And I remember waiting in the rain down at the end of an old trail. My sister and her husband lived up in the woods. You couldn't drive up to their house. You had to walk up an old trail. And I stood down there in the rain waiting for the hearse to come, bringing that little baby's body home. And I carried that little white coffin up that trail and put it on a table in my sister's house. And my sister and my brother-in-law stood there and looked at their darling. And I'll tell you, neighbor, a couple of days later, I carried that same coffin down to the road, and we went to the church and the cemetery, and we laid that little baby, her body, in the soil there in a little country cemetery. And if you went there today, you'd see a little marble tombstone shaped like a heart that's pink in color, and it's got to Lisa Lee Morrow on the headstone, April or February the 6th, 1963. And then the date of death is April the 1st, 1966. And then right under that, it said, so loved, so little, so soon. I'm telling you, never. There's something about losing a child in death that'll break your heart into a million pieces, and you'll never get over it. Amen.
In the midnight, it was midnight for this woman in our text. The family circle was broken, neighbor. Two things she did. We'll have to do the same thing if we see our children that are spiritually dead live again. Verse 21, she took that little dead baby, or that little boy,
and lay him on the bed of the man of God, and laying the body of their son on the man of God's bed. That was an act of faith, neighbor. That's what we got to do. We got to lay our young'uns and our grand-young'uns at the feet of the Lord Jesus. When we look at what she done, we see her faith expressed in various ways. We see a faith that looks to God. Our text said in verse 22 that if she called her husband and told him to send one of the young men and an ass, so she could run to the man of God and come, she said, and come again. Her husband said, why? Why do you want to do that? It ain't any kind of holiday or nothing or no religious day. I sure like what she told him. She said, it shall be well. Hallelujah. What remarkable faith, amen. She got on that donkey and told that servant, I said, you put him in high gear. Don't slow up for me. I'll be right behind you. I mean, she had a place to go and a person to see. And she was in a hurry. Ain't that something? Her first reaction was to get to the man of God with urgency and speed. I'll tell you, neighbor, the first thing, the most important thing, is to get our young'uns and our grand-young'uns to God with urgency. Brother, I mean, get to the throne of grace with our heavy burden for our young'uns, our loved ones, run to God with it. Amen. I know parents who plead with their kids and talk to them till they're blue in the face. Seems to run off them like a water on a duck's back. But our faith and trust is in the God who can. Hallelujah. He can do anything. There ain't nobody he can't reach. Hey, when we've gone as far as we go, can go, thank God he can go further. Only God can give life to an unsaved soul. Only God can touch that backslider's heart and bring him out of the hog pen. That this woman didn't make God her last resort, but she made him her first resort. And we got to do the same thing, neighbor. Elisha Hoffman wrote many great hymns. One time he visited a woman who had gone through much sorrow and affliction, and he found her so discouraged, and she unburdened her heart to Brother Hoffman. And then she said, Brother Hoffman, what in the world can I do? And he quoted her several verses of Scripture, and then he said, you can't do better than just take all your sorrows to Jesus. You can't do any better than to just take it all to Jesus. It seemed like joy lit up her face, and she said, yes, that's what I've got to do. I must tell Jesus. And Mr. Hoffman went home and he wrote that old hymn, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear them, my burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. Thank God we can tell Jesus. Amen. When the disciples of John picked up his dead body, the Bible said they buried him and they went and told Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what we got to do. A faith that leans on God. It was a long ride to where Elisha was. She didn't take a break, a rest. She ran to the man of God. Elisha saw her coming and told his servant, said, go meet her and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And you know what she said? It is well. I mean, her son is dead. Hey, everything. It's anything but well. I mean, her son is dead. But hey, faith looks beyond the natural, neighbor, and drops anchor on the spiritual side and cries, it is well. Hallelujah. Hey, that kind of faith knows that God can save our loved one. Bring them to God. Her faith latched on to God. She came in and threw her arms around the feet of the man of God. And it was like she was saying, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. She was determined that her family circle would not be broken, neighbor. Latch on to the promise of God, dear neighbor. Don't ever stop believing. Don't ever stop praying until God saves them or until God brings them back to Him. That's whatever lost son or daughter or grandchild needs as a mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, that they can get a hold of the horns of the altar and stay there and keep a calling out to God until God moves. Amen. Years ago in Scotland, a revival meeting was going on, and the preacher was up preaching, and he was getting ready to give the invitation, and a mother got up out of her seat and came down. She was just bawling. She was trembling. And just bawling and pouring out her heart to God there on the altar. When they stood up to give the invitation, she stood up to go back to her seat. And she'd been praying for her son. She hadn't seen him in several years. He was so lost and on his way to hell, full of all kind of vices and things that was dragging him down. She poured her heart out to God, and she got up and turned around and looked, and lo and behold, in the very back, there he stood. He was there in the building, and she looked at him and cried, Jamie, come to God. Come to God, Jamie. And Jamie said, Mama, I can't. He said, these chains have me bound. These chains have me bound. I can't come. And Mama said, Jamie, come to God. Chains and all. Chains and all. Just get to God. Hey, don't worry about quitting this and quitting that. Don't worry about all getting cleaned up. Hey, He'll clean you up. Thank God Almighty. That's what He did for me. He cleaned me up. Amen. He broke the chains that had me bound. Amen. Well, thank God for praying Mama and Grandpa and Grandma and Daddy so that I'll get a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go. Amen.
Notice a happy woman and her blessing. You talk about a happy end. I like happy endings, don't you? Amen. I like happy endings. Here she is. Verses 31 through 35. Here's a glorious result now. Elisha entered the room where the dead boy was lying upon the bed, and he closed the door. He's closed in with a dead boy and God. He's shut up in a room with death and gloom. But he was also shut up in that room with the God of glory, the death defeater. Hallelujah. I imagine that mom and dad could hear powerful prayers coming from that room, the kind that get an answer. Elisha stretched himself out over that boy twice, and then the boy started sneezing and opened his eyes. The dead boy was now alive. And the Bible said God had given this mother her son back. I mean, God gave her son back. I remember that cold February night, Brother Tam, down in Dalton, Georgia, at an old-fashioned
Fellowship Baptist Church when God gave my mama her son back at an altar of prayer. God saved my soul and gave my mama her son back. Woo! Glory. I know there's some of us that long for the day when God answers our prayer and our family members get right with God. How many of you got family members away from God tonight? Read where this dear old man in his 80s, he put himself in the nursing home so he could be with his precious wife. He was sitting by his dying wife's bedside one afternoon. They had had 8 children and all of them were dead. Some had died young, and some had died later in life. The old man was sitting there in that chair by his dying wife's bedside. He was almost asleep. And he felt her touch his hand. And she said, "John, it's night time, ain't it?" And he started to say, "No, honey, it's the middle of the afternoon," but he caught himself. And he said, "Yes, dear, it's night time." She said, "Why don't you turn on the light, John?" He said, "Okay, I will, dear." She said, "John, are all the doors locked? Make sure before you come to bed, all the doors are locked." He said, "I will, dear." She said, "Are the windows locked?" He said, "Yes, dear." And then she said, "John, are all the children in? Are all the children in?" The invitation tonight is this: are all your children in? Is your husband in? Is your wife in? Them grandkids in? Are you in? Let's stand, please. Let me invite you to come tonight. To an old-fashioned altar. And in earnest prayer, bring your children. Bring your children and your grandchildren to God. My grandpa was in heaven. He went to heaven when my mama was 11 years old. I never did see my grandpa. But my mama said, "Grandpa prayed for me." Said he'd gather the kids around the fireplace at night, lay his hands on each of their heads as he prayed, and he'd say, "God save my children and my children's children." He was praying for me, Brother Charlie. Bring them to God, Mom and Daddy. Hey, sir. Hey, ma'am. Come to God tonight. Chains and all.